Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Another week, another Lenten service with a parable from Jesus. This week in Bible study, I had a lot of folks ask me, what in the world was this one about now? Doesn't it just seem that Jesus is just throwing any sort of hyperbole at us? It got me to wondering if he liked to do Mad Libs. And I thought that would be fun for us to do today. So, corny, this is church, but I'm going to have you guys throw out some word clues for me, and we're going to make a modern-day parable based on the one today, so I've got some questions for you to ask. So, I need a class of a leader, not a name, so like, you know, what would be a type of leader? What? Chaplain. Captain, okay, captain. All right, here, I got to fill in that real quick here. And there we go. All right, next one I need is, I need a type of relative.
Sister.
Sister, all right. Then I need a type of an employee.
Secretary,
all right. Okay, there's a couple more I just got to fill in here. All right, next one. I need four types of food.
Pizza,
all right. Waffles and chicken. All right. And then I need a type of profession.
Electrician.
All right. And a place you work at. Yes? Police officer station. All right. I need a type of soldier.
Marine.
All right. I need a type of good person.
Huh?
Teacher. All right. And I need a type of bad person. Teacher, all right. All right, we got both of those. All right, I need a type of exotic clothing. Type of exotic clothing. Overalls, I like overalls. All right, and then finally, be nice, we need a body part. What do you got? Leg, okay. All right, here we go. This is our parable today. Jesus said heaven can be compared to a captain that was throwing a wedding for his sister. He sent his secretaries to call those who were invited to the wedding, but they wouldn't show up. Again, he sent his secretaries telling them to say, hey, look, we prepared pizza and waffles and your favorite chicken. It's getting cold, so get in here. But they made light of it, and one went to... And one said, I'm going to be an electrician. Another said, well, I had to work at the police station. The rest seized the secretaries and got rid of them permanently. The captain got mad and sent in his Marines, and they wiped them out and the whole city to boot. The captain then told the rest of his secretaries to go invite everyone on the streets to come to the party because the food was getting cold, especially that chicken. And the secretaries rounded up everybody they knew, no matter if they were a teacher or also a teacher. The captain came by to inspect his guests and noticed that one of them was wearing overalls. Enraged, the captain had the person thrown out by their leg. For many are called, but few are chosen. Hopefully we all got a few good laughs out of this exercise. But I know for quite a few of us, we feel this way about these parables that Jesus is telling us. They don't make a lick of sense. They seem to be meant for only people like pastors or scholars to look at. And this is the first answer to your worship notes if you're taking them today. We need to wrestle with the Bible. We need to wrestle with the Bible. It's not always easy to know what God is getting at in these parables. And the nice thing is we don't have to do it by ourselves. And since I am your paid retainer of parables, I'd like us to walk through this today. So what is Jesus getting at? And what, if anything, does this have to do with our everyday lives? So if you have your Bible apps or those pew Bibles in front of you, you can open up to Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, which is found on page 803. Again, Matthew 22, found on page 803 of those black Bibles in front of you. And as you're getting there, we always have to ask some important questions to ourselves. The first is, who is this audience for this particular parable? Is it the disciples, the crowds? Who? Glancing back at Matthew 21:45, right above where we're going to begin reading, we see that Jesus is currently talking to the Pharisees and the chief priests. But what do we know about these two types of people? Basically, that they were centered on making up rules to follow God's laws. And they were more than happy to enforce them on other people and tell other people how badly they were doing at them. They basically were missing the point on why God had instituted the rules in the first place. The second thing to always keep in mind when you read a parable is what other parables are around this one. Now, we heard something similar last week in chapter 20 with the generous landowner, where all were given equal pay for unequal work. Glancing back again at 21, we see the parable of the landowner and the tenants. This is about a landowner who rented out his land and his tenants who took advantage of him, so much so that they even killed his servants as well as his own son, instead of paying him what he was owed. So we're beginning to see sort of a pattern developing within each of the parables, which is this. The main figure tends to be God, and the parable is talking about some aspect of God's love. So with this in mind, let's take a look at our text for today, starting in verse 1, which is this. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son." One of the easiest ways to identify a parable is by looking for the phrase, "the kingdom of heaven is like." Now, not all parables start like this, but when you see this, you know Jesus is beginning a parable. And we know already that the king will represent God. We also know that there is a celebration going on. Verse 3, he sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they could not come. Now, the king had already had his guests RSVP and was just telling them, "Hey, today's the day. Come on and show up." And then the weirdness of this parable begins. People start saying, "Nah, I can't make it," for some very weird reasons, like, "I got to wash my hair. I got to just go to work today." And then they started doing something even more bizarre. They started killing the messengers. I mean, hey, if you don't want to go to the party, that's okay. You don't have to hurt anybody, though. And then what happens next? The king gets mad and retaliates in a big time, burning down his own city and sending in the army to wipe them out. Wow, that went sideways really quick, didn't it? Then we see what happens next in verse 8. And then the king said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. Then it gets even more bizarre, because one of those new people off the street is wearing suspenders. So he gets thrown out by his legs into what is often symbolized in the Hebrew Jewish culture as hell. Boy, that is a weird parable. You guys are getting your money's worth this week. So again, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. I think what Jesus is going on is that God has invited all the people who were first chosen to come to his party, which could mean God's love. The party could mean God's love, God's eternal life, you know, that sort of type of thing. And they were all like, "Nah, we're doing good by ourselves. Well, we don't really need you, God. We're following those rules, which is all we really need to do. We don't actually have to talk to you. We don't need to have a relationship with you." And God says, "You're getting it wrong." He gets mad and says, "No, you're missing the point." And then God does something really weird. And this is the answer to your second question on your worship notes. God invites everybody. God invites everybody. This means the good teacher as well as the bad teacher, doesn't it? Everybody is invited to God's love for eternal life to God's grace. However, as God is looking at everybody in the party, God sees that one guy who doesn't fit in, who's wearing those funny suspenders. I know my first thought was like, God, but you took him off the street. He didn't have time to change. Now, there is a cultural caveat here. In this particular time, if a host invited guests to a celebration and they didn't have the right attire, they would loan them a piece of wedding garb. So this guy is thrown out because he had a chance to change. And he was like, nah, I like my suspenders. I'm keeping them on. Now, looking at the overall theme of this parable, Jesus is telling his audience that just looking like a follower of God isn't enough. There needs to be actions. Or as Martin Luther would bristle in his grave over, faith without works is no faith at all. Now, to be fair to Luther, though, he was saying that works don't earn us a place at the table, which is correct. Jesus is telling us that we all of us, are invited to the big party. The question he is raising is the invitation is only a piece of the pie, though. And here's the answer to that third question you have on your worship notes. We need to respond to this love. We need to respond to this love. And it asks us some hard questions. It asks us to say, you know, that showing up at church just isn't enough to call yourself a Christian. It makes us ask the question, what's going on in our hearts? How does knowing that you are invited to this wonderful celebration, this wonderful party, change who you are? Do you wear the clothes that God gave you for this life? Do you try to have a better relationship with God through prayer, through your actions, through study, like devotions? Jesus was telling the Pharisees and us that being a child of God is more than just showing up. It's a lifestyle change. Being a Christian is a way of life. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we're perfect, though. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we have all the answers. What it does mean is that we love God with all of our being, and we love our neighbors, even the ones that we can't stand, as well. And why is this important in the first place? Because I don't know about you, but this world is really hard to live with sometimes. People get sick, people die. It's not always a bed of roses. It's not always a bowl of peaches. But knowing that we have this relationship with God allows us to walk with confidence each and every day. It allows us to respond with hope. It allows us to respond with love. One of the interesting things about our political system is that when we have a vote in Congress, there are three things that we can do. We can vote yes, no, or present, which means they don't have an opinion on the bill, but hey, they showed up. God doesn't want our lives to just be a present vote. But instead, God wants us to have a yes vote. A vote that we want a relationship with God, and that we will live our lives to the best of our ability, following Jesus' example for us. So now we get to the fun part of my sermon, which everybody looks forward to every week. The homework that I get to assign you guys. I hope you've been enjoying it as much as I have, because I'm doing it as well as you are. I know for myself, this last week when I asked us to write down some things that you're grateful for, it was really eye-opening for myself and my journal as I was looking through and realized how abundant I really had it. Well, this week I have a harder question for you I want you to kick around. What does it mean in your life this week to vote yes to a relationship with God? Are you going to read a Lenten devotional daily? We do have some of them still out there if you need one. Are you going to help somebody else out? Are you going to take some time and pray with your kids or grandkids this week? What are you going to do to vote yes to have a relationship with God? A relationship which you have been invited to again and again. If you don't know you've been invited to, you just got a card today that says you're invited. A relationship which is portrayed as a celebration. I know this is very poor, which I did for you today, but this reminds us of a party that's going to be a lot better than a bunch of crepe paper and balloons. It's going to be a feast that no one has ever imagined. And you are invited to that celebration. The invitation's in your hands today. Will you accept it? Amen.